In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, and happy Friday.
Yay.
Late to the game, buddy. Late to the game.
It's Friday, man. I'm tired.
Okay, let's meet the crew. We're tag-teaming it this week. I'm Brett Molina. I'm a tech reporter. And the mutant power I wish I possessed is Wolverine's regeneration, because it also means he ages really, really slowly. Like, I think he was in World War II or something in the comic books.
Yeah, he totally was in
World War II. So I'd probably look like I'm 20 right now.
And he's been, like, through experimentation and,
exactly,
you know, getting killed, like, 50 million times.
We can skip that stuff. Just the never aging is great.
Yeah. And I'm Brian Truitt. I'm a film critic and entertainment writer, and I wish I had Jean Grey's telekinesis so I could just take my dog outside and not move the couch. Plus, I would be an awesome cosmic force. So that is like, that is the gravy on that train.
Bonus. Yeah. Kelly is going to be away from the pod for the next few weeks. She's at the Television Critics Association conference in LA. We miss you so much. If you want to tweet at us what your mutant power would be, please do. We'd love to hear it. Speaking of, for the listeners, if this is your first time on board the Mothership, welcome. New episodes come out every Friday. You can subscribe to the podcast for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a review? If you do, we'll give you a shout out on the next episode. And bonus, if you give us a 5-star review, we'll read it out loud. You'll be famous. You can tell your family and friends. It'll be great. Don't forget, you can also get in touch with us on Twitter. We're at Mothership Pod. Or you can email us to mothershippod@usatoday.com. We always love hearing your ideas. We've actually changed things to the podcast, like making the show a little longer. We love your feedback. It's really great. Please keep it coming. This week, we have some big news in the entertainment world. The House of Mouse is expanding. It's already pretty big, but it's got now an extra wing thanks to this deal with 21st Century Fox. On Monday, shareholders approved a deal for Disney to purchase big chunks of 21st Century Fox, specifically their movie and TV assets for $71 billion, which is a lot of money.
Billion dollars.
This means very big things for Marvel fans. Certain franchises like the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, handful of other characters, are now going to potentially be introduced into Marvel Cinematic Universe. So it's a huge deal. The fact that they have the movie rights back now opens up so many possibilities. So that's what we're going to talk about this week. Plus, there's a whole lot more that goes into this deal, too. Before we dig in, let's break down the details. This all actually started back in December of last year because Disney announced they were going to acquire all these assets from 21st Century Fox, and they offered $52 billion for all of this. You move forward to June, Comcast jumps in and says, hey, we're going to pay $65 billion. Disney kind of brushes them off and saying, we're going to pay $70 billion. Go away. And Comcast goes away. And then we have the news that shareholders have approved this. It's already gone through all the regulatory stuff. So basically, this is pretty much a done deal. So what did Disney acquire specifically in this deal? The big stuff, of course, we talked about X-Men and Fantastic Four. They also now have the rights to what Brian calls Star Wars 1977 because he will never say A New Hope.
Yep.
Is that still true?
Yep.
All right.
Fox kept the rights for distribution to that, and that's why we haven't seen the original Lucas version, not the special edition, but the original how it was. That's now a Blu-ray collection that they can put out there.
It's a lot more than that, though. It's not just the Marvel stuff and the Lucas stuff. They acquired one of the big Fox TV studio that makes The Simpsons and a lot of other shows. They also have access to all the 20th Century Fox library, which is stuff like Alien and Predator.
Die Hard,
Planet of the Apes. They also get Fox's 30% stake in Hulu, so now they're a majority owner in Hulu.
Fox Searchlight. They used to have Miramax as their prestige movie arm. Now they have Fox Searchlight.
I think they did Shape of Water, right?
Yeah. Shape of Water and Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Now that we know all this, Brian, what was your first take on this news once you heard it?
I wasn't surprised. I figured the Marvel characters would come back under the banner at some point because Sony's had so much success teaming with Marvel and getting Spider-Man Homecoming and seeing how playing nice with other studios nets you money. Whereas Fantastic Four, remember that horrible Four movie? That was pretty much just a gambit to keep the rights to the Fantastic Four. They lost the rights to Daredevil because they didn't do anything for like 7 years or something. And that's when they reverted back to Disney. But they kept X-Men and Fantastic Four going so they could keep making money off of those things.
So as a fan, my first reaction is...
You love the X-Men.
They got the X-Men back. Yeah. I'm so happy. In December when they announced, I was sharing X-Men gifts like all day. Because I was like, yes, this is great. Big picture, though, I'm kind of worried because we talked about this when they bought Lucasfilms. Like,
for $4 billion. Hey, yeah. That's the thing. They bought both Marvel and Lucasfilm for $4 billion each. And just look at how much money they've made off of those.
Oh, yeah. It's insane.
It's probably the money that they can buy Fox is from both those two things.
When that deal came down for Lucasfilm, the thing I thought of was, okay, great. Disney now owns pretty much my entire childhood between Marvel and Star Wars. If they buy DC, that's all of it, pretty much.
I wouldn't put it past them.
But I'm kind of worried now because I feel like it's like a monopoly in a weird way because they've got almost everything at this point.
They wouldn't own my entire childhood if they bought Silverhawks, G.I. Joe, and Transformers.
Now, I think you have fewer properties that aren't owned by Disney than that are owned by Disney.
Like, yeah, you have Universal and Warner Brothers, but those are pretty much the kind of the only heavy hitters that can even come close to Disney at this point.
Like, at some point in a couple of years, if I find out Disney buys Harry Potter, I'm like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? I mean, they feel like a Galactus in media right now, where it's like they're just eating up all these other companies and all these other assets, and they're going to get everything at some point. It's kind of, I don't know how I feel about it.
It's a little scary. There was the initial, hey, Disney wants to buy Fox, and then Universal came in with a bid, and then Disney had a bigger bid. So we've had a long time to just yell at each other online about this. And I think there's a lot of people who are scared about this means less movies coming out. Conceivably, if they take Fox, Fox won't be putting out as many movies as they would have had they just been a standalone studio. And who knows? There's so much we don't know because we don't know if they're going to keep Fox as a separate thing. We don't know if Fox Searchlight's going to be a separate thing. Is everything going to be under the Disney banner? Who knows? I wouldn't get scared at this point. I get that people are like, oh, you know, this means everything's going to get Disney-fied. No, because Marvel Studios does its own thing. And Lucasfilm does its own thing. Not everything's going to be like Christopher Robin-ized or Lion King-ized. You know, I think there's always going to be that Disney-fied stuff. But Marvel and Lucasfilm have already proven that there's creative types that Disney lets do their own thing and they're successful. So why not let them do their own thing? Who knows if they might do that same thing with Fox?
Okay, let's start with the movies. Fox, as of right now, you've got Deadpool, you have the X-Men stuff, Fantastic Four. But then you also have all these other properties, too, like Alien and Predator and all this other stuff that don't feel like Disney at all. For you, as far as hopes, expectations, and stuff, what do you kind of want to see or do you think will happen?
I think they're going to be too busy with Marvel and Star Wars to even think about a Die Hard reboot. If they do Die Hard reboot, maybe they make it a Netflix show, or maybe they make it something for their streaming service. The Predator movie comes out in September. That may just be a one-off, unless it makes like scads of money. First of all, I think you're going to have Marvel announcements for Phase 4 contain some kind of Fox purchase, whether it be a Fantastic Four movie.
You get an X logo or something.
Maybe in the first few films of Phase 4, introduce the concept of mutants. Maybe as an end credit scene for Avengers 4, cut to some high schooler's bedroom, kid wakes up, lasers his entire ceiling, and it's Scott Summers. And that's the first time we see Scott Summers. That's what they've done with other characters. If they keep that going, that would be kind of cool, because you don't want to just be like, oh, here's the X-Men. And that's what I kind of hope doesn't happen with Dark Phoenix, where they put out Dark Phoenix, and then all of a sudden, they somehow tie that into the Marvel Cinematic Universe in some strange way, because that would go against everything that they've done so far.
You guys will be surprised to know that I have a lot of thoughts about the X-Men joining the Marvel Universe.
Shocker. I'm not surprised.
First off, I think they should scrap this Dark Phoenix movie.
I think they should, too. It's just about what kind of write-off would that be?
Yeah, how much money do they lose by doing that?
Yeah.
The X-Men movies that Fox have done they've been pretty solid. First movie was good. X2 was great.
X3 was terrible.
X3 was when they first butchered Dark Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, First Class is good. The second one, Days of Future Past or something like that. That one's all right. That one's not too bad. And then Apocalypse. If I see Psylocke slicing a car in half one more time, my head's going to pop. But I don't want to see another butchered version of Dark Phoenix. What I want is they do Dark Phoenix the way they've done Infinity War, which is
Civil War.
You span it out over the course of several movies. You bring the school in. Maybe the, maybe not even the first movie, the second or third movie, you get the hint that Jean Grey is a lot stronger than we think. And then it becomes like the two-part Dark Phoenix saga, and then it all kind of culminates in that. But it's more fleshed out, and it's a bigger movie. Basically, what they've done with Avengers right now, and you have some characters that are on offshoots, or you just have different kind of ways to explore this universe. But either way, you have this big branching thing, and then it culminates in that. You can't do Dark Phoenix in one movie, or even two. I think it has to be a lot bigger than that.
X-Men 3 and this have both been kind of like ways to get to Dark Phoenix. Where it's just like, oh, hey, we got this awesome storyline that we had in X-Men Comics once. We're going to do it all of a sudden with no actual like build-up to it. You're doing a disservice to the original stories that everybody loved. And Marvel wouldn't do that. That's the only reason why I feel like it would be awesome if they'd be just like, whatever, guys. Let's just shelve the thing and do Dark Phoenix on our own. Make Avengers versus X-Men be a showdown about Dark Phoenix. Put it all together.
I think where they trip up with a lot of these movies was the feeling that they had to take these giant X-Men epics that span months and several issues, and they try to cram it into 2 hours. Yeah. The reason why X2 works is because it's this offshoot of Wolverine and being in Weapon X, and it can fit a 2-hour thing. Like, that whole Age of Apocalypse storyline in the comics is crazy long.
Took like 2 years.
It took 2 years. There were like a ton of titles related to it. You can't cram that whole thing in 2 hours. That's crazy. I think that's where you get into problems with X-Men is if you're trying to do something big like that, you have to have the movies to fit all that. You can't just do it in one movie or even two movies. You got to do it through like a ton, like, you know, Marvel did with Infinity War.
Fox never had somebody who understood comic books.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Kevin Feige understands comic books, and that's why Marvel Studios has been so impressive and has had such hits, because they got a guy stewarding the thing who understands comic book storytelling and brings in people who do understand comic book storyline. Whereas Fox is just like, I read this comic once, let's do that. Let's just make this comic book. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
Because they missed the nuance of everything. I think if you got rid of Dark Phoenix, and depending on New Mutants and how much that was kind of connected to Dark Phoenix and the rest of it, dude, you can release New Mutants. We haven't had a Marvel Universe horror film yet. So you could conceivably put that in there, have that be part of Phase 4, introduce concept of mutants, have an in-credit scene, Nick Fury.
The one thing I think they should keep, though, is Deadpool. I think that's the one thing that's worked very well. And I know it's Disney, but I don't see them messing with Deadpool right now. It's making too much money at this point.
Keep it going, but you keep it separate. You do not put him in the middle of the MCU, because that would be,
he's an offshoot.
Be stupid.
Yeah, it's an offshoot.
What are you going to do? Have Tom Holland, Spider-Man, on a mission with Deadpool shooting people set to the tune of Dolly Parton's 9 to 5? No. That would not make any semblance of sense. I think you keep Deadpool in his own little world doing his thing, where he can still take pot shots at Thanos and he can keep doing Hugh Jackman jokes, because that's kind of ingrained in people's heads. You keep that going as its own thing. But you don't need to have it as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Either way, it doesn't sound very exciting at all. I feel like you got to keep them independent.
Yeah.
So now let's go to TV, because obviously Marvel has a ton of TV stuff happening. FX has some interesting shows, though, relating to mutants. They have Legion, they have The Gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, both those shows have been pretty solid. I would guess maybe that's something they keep going. Who knows? But what do you think? Do you think that's something they should keep going? Should they just reboot that too?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think those are successful in kind of building out a mutant world and kind of showing different corners of it. I think you just expand it. You add Morlocks or something. You add certain parts from the X-Men mythos. And that makes sense for a TV show, because that's the one thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tried so desperately to be part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that it felt unnatural and it felt forced. I think it could go organically in another direction.
I feel like Marvel's pulled that off well with the Netflix stuff, where you have this hint of cinematic universe in the periphery, but it doesn't dominate what the show is. The show is its own thing, and that's what it's about. And you know it's there, but it's not overwhelming the experience.
One of the things I worry about with the Marvel Netflix shows is they're running out of characters. I don't know if I want to see Daredevil Season 6 and Iron Fist Season 7, thank you very much. I think you could bring in certain things from that universe and make them part of the Marvel Netflix stuff. Give them something else to do other than deal with Kingpin or Battle of the Hand. They went the Defenders route too early, and they don't like have this big kind of thing like Thanos or somebody. So if you bring in some of the other X-Men stuff, I feel like right now it's going to get too old too quickly.
Now, on the production side, Marvel hasn't really said a lot about Phase 4. I mean, we know about some stuff that's going on. There's obviously, we're going to get another Spider-Man movie. We get another Black Panther. There's another Guardians film in the works.
Depending on James Gunn's
status. Oh, that's true, yeah.
That may or may not happen.
Yeah, that's true. In terms of timing and when we might hear about this stuff, what do you think is going to happen? Or what do you hope might happen?
They've been holding off on any Phase 4 announcements because of this. I think they probably have ideas for things that involve X-Men characters or Fantastic Four or somebody, and they just haven't been able to announce it officially because all the business stuff. Now that it's official, I don't know if they have to wait till early 2019 when I's are dotted and T's are crossed and everything else. But I think we see something like what we had a few years ago. Marvel calls this huge press conference, announces their next six movies, or announces the whole Phase 4 slate. I feel like that's going to happen probably in the next 6 months. 4 to 6 months.
So I know a lot of people have talked about the first thing that pops in your head now when they have these characters is, oh, we could do Avengers vs. X-Men, which makes total sense. The other thing I thought about too, though, is what if they tried Secret Wars, which was a series from the 80s? Yeah. I think they brought it back too in the 2000s, probably a few years ago.
Yeah, right? It was more of a S.H.I.E.L.D. secret agent kind of thing. Yeah,
but it was basically what you have now, and then X-Men and Fantastic Four were all in the mix too. It makes me wonder, is that something they do where they use Fantastic Four as an outlet to bring in the villain, and then you have the X-Men in it, and then you kind of bring it all together, and it's a big, crazy mess, basically.
It's possible. I think you'll see either that. I think you may see Secret Invasion, because Skrulls are being introduced in Captain Marvel. So now that the Skrulls are in there, I think you can put Secret Invasion in play in some way in Phase 4 or Phase 5 as a thing that leads to something else. I don't think you do Avengers versus X-Men as the closer of Phase 4. Phase 1, 2, 3 all led to Infinity War. I think Avengers versus X-Men is the thing you build to, or Dark Phoenix, or both. I think those are the things you build toward. Put in Phase 6 and have something that gets you there.
There's actually still a couple things that are left that Marvel still doesn't own rights to yet. Like Spider-Man, they're sharing with Sony right now. A lot of the Spider-Man-related stuff, like Venom, for example, is still with Sony. Namor is with Universal. Mm-hmm.
And Universal still apparently has the solo movie rights to Hulk. Hulk can be in Avengers and stuff like that, but apparently Universal, I think, still has the solo movie rights.
Do you think this expedites arrangements with Disney where they try to get the rest of the two that stand out is get Spider-Man locked down and then the Hulk? But Namor, you probably would have.
I don't think you even need the Hulk. If you can't do a Hulk solo movie, but you can do like a She-Hulk solo movie, I don't think you need it back. But if Hulk, She-Hulk, everything involved with Hulk is tied up with Universal, then yeah, I think you make some kind of handshake agreement or something with them to share some money. I'm not a big Namor fan.
I don't think anybody cares.
Yeah. Leave it. if they really want it, you know, go with God. Sony stuff has worked out really well. If Sony wants to go make their little Venom movies, fine, whatever. Now, maybe they bring in Venom in a later Spider-Man movie, but I think they don't even need Venom. If you have Spider-Man, you build out his own Sinister Six. You keep him in the MCU, bring him in different movies and stuff. If they can share that, then they don't need to really bring him back like full sale, because they're still making money off of it.
I wonder if Universal is hoping Aquaman does really well so they can be like, hey, you got an Aquaman right here.
Got Namor over here.
We'll give him to you.
Only $4 billion.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up. We talked about the idea of Disney basically owning pretty much our entire childhood. I'd say like 95% at this point. How do you feel about that personally? Does it bother you? Do you feel like it's too much? What do you think about it?
I guess I should be more bothered than I am about it. The fact is, they make good stuff. If they were dropping the ball on everything, if every Star Wars movie sucked, or if the Marvel Universe was maybe kind of even the DC Universe, it's making lots of money, but it's just not clicking in terms of storytelling and whatnot, or if every Marvel Netflix show was like Iron Fist or something, I think I would be more concerned than I am. But it's not. Everything kind of works. I don't hate it as much as I probably should because of that. You have smart, creative people involved in things like this. They haven't made that many mistakes. So I feel like, go ahead. You can own my entire childhood. Please buy G.I. Joe and Transformers and get away from Paramount before they screw them too much up. That's fine. But as long as you're telling good stories and keeping them fresh for your kids and my daughter and things like that, then that's all that matters. The business side, I guess, you know, Disney does kind of own everything. But, you know, who cares? I mean, again, yeah. It doesn't bother me that much. It might bother some people who think of them as the evil empire. But they haven't really proven themselves as the evil empire yet.
Where I'll be really interested to see with this deal is what they do with some of the Fox stuff, like Alien and Predator and things like that. Because those are, I mean, it's all horror stuff. And that's something you don't really see a lot from Disney. And I don't want to see like some Disney XD Predator cartoon or something like that, or like something some weird like Alien and Predator get a treehouse together and it's a kids cartoon or something ridiculous.
Disney XD show that's coming next fall?
Yeah, Alien and Predator, you know, they go to high school together. It's like Hannah Montana, but with Alien and Predator. I don't think they'll do that, obviously. I think anytime you see Disney gobble up stuff, that's the first thing you think of is, oh, Mickey Mouse is hanging out with a xenomorph, or you can buy a Predator doll at Disney World. And I think that's where people freak out, because then you kind of worry about how these franchises like that are treated. I think with X-Men and Fantastic Four, we've seen what they've done with Marvel, so we trust them enough now that they have it back. We're like really excited about it. But I do wonder about some of those other franchises. And you don't hear about them as much. I think all the focus has been on the Marvel stuff, that we forget all these other things out there. And it makes you wonder, what does that mean? Alien just got a reboot, and we have this Predator movie coming out. But are they going to really duel out that stuff? Are they going to let it sit? I'm just interested to see what they do with all that.
You think back to the 90s, and Disney was putting out Disney films. But you had Touchstone Films that was putting out all the Bruckheimer hits, like The Rock and Con Air, Disney's adult line. You had Miramax that was putting out the indie stuff. You had Dimension Films, which was putting out Scream and the horror stuff. If you keep Fox as its own thing that does more adult stuff, or you reboot Touchstone to be the home for these things, I think it gives them a lot of interesting business possibilities. They might not be thinking about that. They might just be like, Marvel and Star Wars, Marvel and Star Wars. You know, obviously because that makes the most money. But I think it gives them a chance to really do some different things. I mean, they do Marvel and Star Wars really well. There's a lot of stuff that other studios and smaller studios do better than they do in other ways. And so I think they could learn some stuff.
I will say this. If there is an Alien versus Predator wing of the theme park at Disney World, I'm all the way in. I'm smearing mud all over my body and like hiding behind a tree in a swamp.
Dude, trying to dodge a Predator. Die Hard ride.
That would be amazing.
That would be freaking
like a die hard VR, Die Hard, like anything like that. That would, yeah, that would
turn
be really
the
good.
Tower of Terror into Nakatomi Tower.
Oh man, that's really good. That's really good.
Yeah, I know. Like,
okay.
Again, that's stuff that they should be thinking about. You could have a whole Fox part of Disney World at this point. They need to do something with all the Marvel stuff. They can't just have characters just kind of running around meeting kids. They got to do more with those rides. Hollywood Studios is going to have Star Wars Land, but add another wing to Disneyland out in California, or do something else, because you've got all this stuff. And oh, an Avatar. We haven't even talked about Avatar.
I was just going to say, they own Avatar too.
Which then they have an Avatar ride that is 5-hour long wait times. That shows you right there that if you take the properties you now own and kind of do something creative with them, you can keep them alive and keep them going. You don't have to always have them in the movies.
This is true. Okay, listeners, your turn. We want to hear from you. How are you feeling about this merger? What are you most excited about? What are you worried about? Special bonus, do you have a theme park ride or a theme park attraction idea related to this Fox stuff that you really want to see? We want to hear from you. Let us know on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us individually. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
I'm at Brian Truitt.
Kelly is at K-Lols. She probably will not respond because she is knee-deep in Television Critics Association stuff. So there you go. Don't forget, you can email us too. We are at mothershippod@usatoday.com. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to Shannon Green. Our regular pilot, Taylor Macon, isn't here this week, so Shannon's filling in, but she's doing a fantastic job. Thank you. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. And while you're there, leave us a rating or review. It helps other people find the podcast, and you'll be our best friend forever, seriously. And we'll come to your birthday party, all that fun stuff. If Apple Podcasts aren't your thing, you can also find us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. That'll do it. Until then, nerds out.
Later.